Thank you, Emma. May the Lord bless that message and song, and thank you, Joy, tonight for your report. Dr. David Castles, the pastor of Chelmsford, Strict and Particular Baptist Church, is with us tonight, and he is the guest preacher over the weekend. So we welcome him to our missionary weekend, and we welcome his dear wife who is with him also. Over 20 years ago, as a very young minister, I went out to England, and Pastor Castles was a great encouragement to me when I was there. And probably since those days, though I knew him before that, I was just a little boy, a little teenager when he was coming over preaching the word in various congregations here in Northern Ireland. But we got to know him, we got to love him in the Lord, and we're glad that he's here tonight. And we trust that you will be blessed, you'll be challenged by the message that he brings tonight and the theme that he takes over this weekend. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
To those who have taken part tonight, I'm sure that they feel likewise encouraged and helped to know that there are those who will take time to have an interest in the cause and in the work of global, of worldwide missions. I want you to turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew in two passages. First of all, to the chapter 16 and then to chapter 28. Matthew chapter 16 and the well-known words of the Lord Jesus Christ in his converse with the Apostle Peter. We're reading in at verse 13, please. Matthew chapter 16 at verse 13, let us hear and give heed to God's holy word. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Turn now with me, please, to the closing chapter of Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 28 and at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen indeed. And may God be pleased to bless the reading of his holy, precious, inspired, infallible, and errant word to each and every one of our hearts. I don't want to take too long tonight. I want simply to round off this night, which has been a challenge to me. A challenge and an encouragement, a help and a blessing. And I trust that in these moments that we have before us as we draw this gathering to a close, the Lord will enable me to preach and enable you to receive some things that are pertinent to the whole theme of missions and evangelism. Missions, evangelism, evangelism, missions. What is it that makes the difference? Very often we think in terms of evangelism as that which we conduct at home, and missions is that which we conduct elsewhere in the world. But really, there isn't that kind of distinction clearly drawn for us in the Word of God. Really, when we send people abroad to do the work of missions, we're expecting them to do what we ought to be doing at home. And what we're doing at home is what we ought to be praying for those missionaries to be doing when they go overseas. The word missions doesn't per se exist in the Bible. The word mission, like the word co-mission, we speak of that passage at the end of Matthew as the Great Commission. When we speak about mission, we're taking a Latin word that means simply to send. To send. Missionaries are those who are sent into different parts. They are sent out to do a particular work. We are living in a rapidly changing world. Fast change. It's intriguing, isn't it, to look at the Apostle Paul and the times of the Acts of the Apostles and realize what they accomplished without those things that we have today. Paul did not have a website. He didn't have an email address. He didn't have Paul the Apostle, all in lowercase, all one word, at hotmail.com. He didn't have a website set up, apostolicministries.com. He didn't have the publishing house, Antioch Publishers, of fine Christian literature to back him up and do the things that he was involved with. He didn't have modern transport with which to travel. He didn't have even one of those jeeps that bounces along in the rough roads of Kenya. He didn't have the super airliners that we use today in traveling to different parts of the world. Much of his traveling was undertaken by foot in the dry and dusty roads of the Middle Eastern environment. He didn't have those things. And yet, what a great deal was accomplished. And oh, how little we seem comparatively to be accomplishing today in this rapidly changing world. And yet, we have things today at our disposal. We have means that are given to us in 21st century world environments that allow us to enter into spheres and environments that we could never have dreamed of before. I'm just old enough. I mean, I'm just old enough to remember certain things. I remember 50 years ago. My, that scares me even to use that. Half a century ago, I can remember going to missionary meetings. Some of you here should not be smiling when I'm saying that because you're older than me. But you can remember with me when we went along to missionary meetings. We had a church environment in which our church secretary talked about Kodachromes. Do you remember Kodachromes? Oh, don't be so deceitful. Some of you do remember what Kodachromes were. There were slides. Remember slides? Slides that were put into a projector. And if you got them in the right way up, then that was good. Sometimes they would all fall out. And what we had was the environment of people putting them back in, getting back onto the slides again, and they wouldn't be quite right, so you saw some of them this way, and you saw some of them that way, and then some of them were really upside down, and it made it even more difficult to see what was happening. Kodachrome slides, now we have all of this kind of projection. What did we go to see? We went to see missionaries who were going up rivers in canoes, pith helmets, shorts, that kind of thing. We love to see those pictures of places in the world that we couldn't really dream a lot about. We haven't the television pictures to be able to identify with other parts of the world the way that we were able to identify with those parts of the world in a missionary environment. And it was thrilling, exciting. That was the kind of environment that we saw people go to. Today, in this rapidly changing world, what we have is a removal from the rural to the urban. Most people are moving into towns and cities to live. But when we have a missionary come from Spain, when we have a missionary come from Africa, when we have a missionary come from South America, and they show their pictures or DVD projection or their PowerPoint presentation, whatever they show us looks very, very familiar. It could be our town, it could be our street, it could be our city. It looks all so familiar. Teaching English to foreigners, an American in England. It seems almost unbelievable, doesn't it? But here we have a situation where people are now not only living in large cities that are like our own, they're moving all over the world. You go into most parts of Northern Ireland today and you'll meet Poles and Latvians, Russians. You'll meet people coming from other parts of the world. They're moving from the countryside into the city. They're moving from one country to another. The world is rapidly changing. Opportunities are given to us. It's almost unbelievable the things that we have, and so little is being done. So little is being done. Because ultimately, though these means of transport, the media presentations that we can have, all of the things that are at our disposal, for all of those things that we have today, God's method is still men. God's method is still men. I'm hoping to work out this weekend four things about mission. I'm going to speak briefly tonight about the mandate for mission. Tomorrow night, God helping, I will speak on the subject of the manpower of mission. Lord's Day morning, when we gather here, we're going to think about the marvel of mission, and we'll be concentrating on that verse in Matthew 16, which I want to take as an umbrella, if you like, for all my thoughts this weekend. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then on the Lord's Day evening, I'll be speaking about the message of mission. What is the heart of the message? What is the root of the message that we're wanting to disseminate across the world? For all else may have changed, but the message has not changed. The methods may change, can change, do change, have changed, but the message is still the same. And what we preach here in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymoney is the same message that we want to see and hear and know to be declared right across the world wherever we're engaged in and involved in missionary activity. But the question tonight is to do with the mandate. The mandate that Christ gives is there in the book of Matthew chapter 28 in those closing verses, that great commission. Go ye into all the world. Go ye and teach all nations. That word teach has the background, and you'll probably see it if you have the correct marginal reference or the marginal reference that I'm referring to. There are three variants of marginal reference. That's why some people look at their margin when it's referred to in the pulpit and they say, well, I didn't see that in mine. There are three variants of the marginal reference that you could have, but you'll probably have one there if you look at it that says, and make disciples. And make disciples. And that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about the work of missions that is interested in, that has the burden of making disciples, of seeing people brought to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, my wife and I had an opportunity to take a few days away, and we went up into Perthshire in Scotland to a hotel there. And sitting at our table, the people next to us were aged, spoke up a bit louder, and we could hear very clearly every part of every conversation they had at mealtimes. But as they spoke at various mealtimes, it became very clear that both of them were Christians. It became clear that they were brother and sister. But it became very clear that they were Christians. I mean, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-exalting Christians. And we got to be able to talk to them. And I discovered, first of all, that I knew this man's brother. So it was her brother as well, but I knew their brother. Their brother was Charlie Anderson. Charlie Anderson was a consultant in the Royal Hospital in Glasgow. I had known Charlie Anderson a number of years. But this was Kenneth Anderson. And Kenneth Anderson introduced me to the fact that he had been involved in building bridges all over the United Kingdom. In fact, he was the man who was mostly responsible. He was the man chiefly responsible for the building of the fourth road bridge. Some of you have travelled it, you probably, many of you know it. Those of you who are from America, let me tell you, it's the Golden Gate Bridge in Scotland, only a whole lot smaller, as you would expect. He was responsible for that great task. And he shared with me, I have written a book on personal evangelism. And I'm thinking to myself, Fourth Road Bridge, builder of bridges, I've got an idea what this man's going to use for a title for a book on personal evangelism. But it wasn't precisely the way that I had considered it might be. I had thought he would write a book on personal evangelism, missions if you like, reaching others for Christ. I had thought that he would entitle it, Go Build a Bridge. Or Go Build Bridges. That would seem reasonable, wouldn't it? But there was a slight but subtle and important difference in the book that he wrote on personal evangelism. And it was this. Not go build a bridge, but go be a bridge. Now that's a subtle difference, but it's an important one. Because what he was doing was identifying the fact that God has a purpose, that God is a missionary God who has a purpose that is being outworked in the world today, in which he takes men and women and he makes them that point of contact for the gospel between him and never dying souls. They are the bridge. Now that's why evangelism is so close in the thinking of missions. You see, you and I, if we're Christians here tonight, we are God's bridges wherever he has placed us. Between him, the sovereign missionary God, and the needy souls that are around us wherever we may be. There is no option here. There is no alternative here. There is no saying, well, I'm counted in on that one, or I'm counted out on that one. There is no saying, I don't want that, or I do want that. It's part and parcel of being a Christian. Can you get that into your thinking tonight? It is part and parcel of your being a Christian to be a bridge for Almighty God in the gospel between him as the one before whom they will stand one day in judgment and they who are in need of a Savior. You are the bridge. I am that bridge. And there is a sense in which, you see, that every one of us here tonight professing to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that every one of us here tonight is either a Christian missionary or a missionary Christian. A Christian missionary is someone who has been sent in a specific way, or we doing God's work where God has placed us are concerned for and interested and involved in the work of missions. I don't suppose that Ballymoney is so much different from any other part of the world in which I have been, or any other congregation that I have met. I'm going to suggest tonight that there is a core of people here who do most of the work. There is a body of people who are most clearly and visibly and sometimes invisibly involved in the work of God. And then there are others. There are others who are prepared to go to meetings, be interested at a distance, but not be involved in the kind of work that needs to be done. But in this rapidly changing, dynamically changing world in which God has placed us, every one of us has a charge before God and a responsibility to be involved as a bridge. A bridge in our own evangelism where God has put us, and a bridge in being involved in the cause of missions wherever it goes forward. We can't all be sent in the sense of being missionaries, but we can all be involved. There is a work for Jesus only you can do. God has equipped you, saving you by his grace and through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving and wonderful mercy. He has equipped you to be the person that he wants you to be where you are. But I'm going to stage further tonight, and I'm asking you the question in the light of the Great Commission. Where are you not prepared to go for God? Where are you not prepared to go for God? There's a great hymn in the hymn book that we're using here tonight. Where he may lead me, I will go. What is that so? Are you prepared to go anywhere that God will choose? That he will make clear to you and direct you to go to? Are you prepared to go anywhere tonight that God will direct you? Time is not on my side. I want to get right to the quick. Now I want to get right to the quick in using this statement. You are not fit to serve God at home if you're not prepared to go overseas. You are not fit to serve God at home unless you're prepared to go overseas. Let me put the other side of that to you as well. You're not serving God at home in the way that you ought to be serving him if you're not certain that home is where he wants you to be. There are many young people here tonight starting out in life. There are opportunities afforded to you that are unimaginable. There's an illustration that sometimes is used by preachers concerning the gospel. I heard it many, many years ago, and it goes something like this. There's a pastor's home. His son is not a Christian. Sometimes visiting preachers would come through, and he would be there and meet with them. On one occasion, a visiting preacher speaks to him in the living room and says to him, "Tell me this, what are you doing just now?" "Well, I'm at school," he said. "I'm at secondary school. I'm preparing for university." "Oh," he said, "preparing for university. So you're going to leave school and go to university. What then?" "Well, then I'm going to get a job, hopefully pass my degree course and get a job. And then what?" "Well, then I'll probably, you know," blushing, "get married." "Then what?" "Well, probably, hopefully have a family." "Then what?" "Probably retire." "And then what?" Now, of course, this is an unconverted person. The point of the gospel illustration is to make him think about going through life without Christ. "And then what? At the end of your retirement, and then what?" The answer is, "Well, probably I'll die." And then the crucial question again, "And then what? And then what?" But I want to turn that tonight and address it to Christians. I want to ask you young people here tonight, with all this rapidly changing world, with all the dynamic opportunities that God has given to us to be involved in Christian work, I'm asking you, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to go through that cycle? Be qualified, get a job, start a family, get retired, die and do nothing for Jesus? Can you stand in the light of Calvary tonight? Can you stand in the light of the love of God? Can you stand in the light of what Christ has done for you in his dying on the cross? And not be prepared to go wherever God wants you to go. I don't know how much time we have left in this world. I don't know how much time this world has left. But we're 2,000 years further on from when Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And we're 2,000 years closer to that time when the last opportunity will be given to make the gospel message known in this world. There are five simple things I want you to get, beginning with the letter A. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 19 and 20. The five little things are these. First of all, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the disciples, I want you to notice the authority that he possesses. The authority that he possesses. All power is given unto me. There are two words in Greek that carry the English word power in our authorized version of the Bible. One of them is dunamis. You've heard preachers speak about that. It's the word that lies behind the word dynamite. It's that power that is dynamic power. It is that explosive power. It is that power of strength. There's another word, the word exousia. The word exousia is more to do with the power of authority. And that's the word that we have here. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, all authority is given unto me. I have the authority to say what I'm saying and commission the way that I am commissioning. Now you understand the distinction between the two, don't you? All authority is given unto me. In what sense does he have the authority? Well, of course, he has the authority as God. Three members of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, within the economy of the Godhead. He has authority. He has authority as God. But that's not the light in which we're learning that authority here. He has the authority as if you like, the result of having done everything that needs to be done in the purpose of the eternal counsel of God to bring salvation as a living reality to lost souls. It's in the light of Calvary, I'm saying it again, that he says this. I have lived that sinless life. I have died that atoning death. I have shed my blood as a ransom for many. I have given myself as the Savior for sinners. I have died. I have risen again from the dead. I am alive forevermore, and I have the authority. And I say to you, go ye. Go ye. Does Jesus Christ have that kind of authority in your life tonight? Does he have authority in every aspect and dimension of your life? Are you saying to God in this meeting tonight, Lord, I will go anywhere in this world, wherever it might be. I will pay any price, whatever it may be. I will go under any kind of discipline, whatever it may be, because I know that you have authority. Authority. We don't like authority today. It's a passé word. We don't like the idea of being under discipline. We don't like the idea of being under authority. But a true child of God, born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood, bound for heaven, is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul summarizes it. He states it clearly for us. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead with him in his dying. Nevertheless, I live. I am risen with him in his living. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live. Oh, I live, yes. But what is Paul summarizing when he says this? I live this life under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what made Paul the man that he was. The second word is the word applicability. Authority, applicability. And what I simply mean by this is, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world, it could be said by some, and is said by some. You know, there's strange variants of doctrines all over the world. Doctrines that get people out of doing what they ought to be doing. But there are some people that would say, well, that was given to the disciples. That is something that belongs to them. It belongs to that time. That is something that has gone. It doesn't relate to us today. And as a result, there are even those who say, well, this Great Commission has already been fulfilled. There are. And they're not far from conservative evangelicalism. But what is the applicability of, what does that said almost 2,000 years ago? How does that affect us in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymoney tonight? How do we plug into that? How does that affect your life and mine? Well, you see, he says, all authority is given unto me. All authority. Go ye into all the world.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that word, their world, has the significance of the age. It's not to do with geographical limitations. It's not to do with geophysical dimensions. It's to do with time, right to the end of the age. Now they didn't live. You may not, you do know, don't you? They're all dead. The 11 are dead. But the end of the age is not yet. How close to the end of the age is, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how many breathing days I have left until the end of the age. I don't know. But when the Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye, and I will be with you always unto the end of the age, he is foreseeing, he's anticipating, he is looking forward to something that's going to go on long before, after these 11 are dead and gone. That the Holy Spirit will come and bring all things to their remembrance. The things that he has taught will be taken by them and communicated in inscripturated ways in the New Testament that we have. That book that we call the New Testament, those 27 books of the New Testament, are given to us by God for the continuation, at least for the continuation of this message, this challenge, this authority being communicated to successive generations. And so just as surely as if you and I were standing with those disciples there almost 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, through them and through their inspired writings, is saying to us tonight, go ye. In other words, make sure that in every succeeding generation, this purpose of God, this definable, this responsible purpose of God is maintained and continued. Would to God tonight the rest of the United Kingdom were as well off as the province of Ulster. Would to God I could go anywhere in the United Kingdom apart from Ulster tonight and find a crowd like this who will come on a Friday night to engage in thinking about the work of missions. But I will look long and hard. I will travel far and wide and not find anything like this in the rest of the United Kingdom. Now that should say several things to you. It should say to you, well, go home and say, praise God, we still have it here in Ulster. But it should also make you realize that if God has his hand on this province still, and he does, if God has secured such a gathering as this for this day, and he has, then this congregation, these people gathered here tonight, have a responsibility to think in the terms of what Christ is saying to the disciples so long ago. And we've got to stop and say, now what am I doing in response to that commission that Jesus gave? The third word is activities. Activities. Now, I'm not going into all three of them because I think that the central one is the one that I want to get across to you tonight. The first of the three things that Jesus says is the most important. The other two flow from it. And what he's saying is, go and make disciples. Teach. There's a message to be communicated. There's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the mighty to save. And out of all the things that change and are changing, out of all the things that are going and the swirling about of the tides of 21st century life worldwide, out of all the unchanging, out of all the changing things, there is one unchanging thing, and it is this. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel still does what God says the gospel will do. It takes poor, benighted sinners out of the darkness and the depth and depravity of their sins, and it brings them into the fullness of life that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We don't have the verb disciple, but if we can coin one, that's what we're talking about here. Discipling. It's a hard, a long process. I'm not here with a challenge tonight to make everything look good and rosy and fine and wonderful. The work of missions is hard.
the work of being involved in missions at whatever level, whether it is in our giving or whether it is in our support mechanism or whether it is in literally going, it's a hard work. We face the enemy with more ferocity in that kind of missionary environment maybe than in any other part of our lives when we get involved. There are missionaries tonight all over the world and they feel the crush of being away from home in a foreign environment with a foreign culture and a foreign language. There are missionaries tonight somewhere, and you may know some of them. And though they cannot bring themselves to tell you precisely how they feel, they're ready to throw in the towel because it's so hard. I'm not presenting to you something that's easy. Sometimes we sit and we talk with people for days and weeks and months and see nothing. And it wouldn't be the first time that a missionary had gone out in the commission of God to his or her own soul to find that they'd come to the end of their lengthy journey in the mission field without anything to show as far as salvation and souls was concerned. And it wasn't until the next generation that the seed sowed by them was reaped by another. But they had to stay on because God had sent them. Because they believed that they had an activity to bring the message, the word of God, to teach, to disciple, to cause people to know and realize the awfulness of an eternity apart from God, the darkness, the desperate horror of hell, and the wonderful, splendid light and beauty and wonder that is found in Jesus Christ and his saving grace. The fourth thing that I want to say is the attitude that he provokes. And what I simply mean by this is that there is a perspective in this commission. You see, it's something that should be outward and not inward. It's very easy for us as Christians to be comfortable in our Christian homes, our Christian churches, and go to our weekly church gatherings, primarily with other Christians, mostly with other believers. But the word of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't allow us that kind of inward, self-centered and self-preoccupied focus to dominate our lives if we would obey the Lord Jesus Christ as his disciples. We're called to look beyond our comfortable circles. We're called to go beyond to the mass of humanity that lies around us in the darkness of sin. And so the perspective is, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated now to thee. The attitude is, Lord, whatever, whenever, wherever, I will go. But not only outward and not inward, it's universal and not narrow. For the Lord commanded us to make disciples of all the nations. Although it would never be possible for any individual or local church to actually carry the gospel to every nation and place on earth, we should have a worldwide vision. When God spoke to Abraham, and we know the passage in Genesis 12 very well, and gave a promise and covenant blessing to his child so long ago, he said, and in thee all nations shall be blessed. In that prophetic word, we have the seed, the early manifestation of what we're watching today as the gospel penetrates into various parts of the world. And as doors open, the gospel goes in, as opportunities are given, there are people to go. The problem is there aren't enough people. The problem is not that we don't have the opportunities, it's that we don't have the people. The fifth word is assistance. There are two great things that Jesus speaks about. He speaks about his power and he speaks about his presence. He has the authority. He is sovereignly directing all that happens in his universe in strict accordance with his own will. And therefore we take up the marching orders of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a great sense of confidence and hope in that authority that he has. He is all the resource that you and I need to do his work. We take that little phrase, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, and we mean that God is going to give us temporal blessings. But there's a wider dimension than that. What it means is that when we're doing his work according to his will, that is in accordance with his word, he has everything there that we will need to do what he has given us to do. But not only his power, his presence, and lo, I am with you always. Just to have Jesus is all that we need. Just to know that he is our companion is all that we desire. It's never easy to preach the word of God. It's never easy to preach what God has put upon a preacher's heart. I'm not wearing my heart on my sleeve as a preacher and telling you that. I'm just building up to saying this, that there are times when it's more frustrating and difficult for a preacher to try and communicate with a congregation. I've got to tell you, this weekend is one of the hard times for a preacher to try and communicate to a congregation like this the urgency of the hour in which we live. The demand that is set before us and the opportunities that are there. I remember many, many years ago sitting in a missionary meeting and hearing the very challenge that I started out speaking to you about tonight. I can remember God saying to me, "You are not fit to stay at home unless you're willing to go overseas." And I had to bow in genuine willingness before God and accept that he would send me anywhere that he wanted me to go. And once that was settled, I could discover where he wanted me to go. There are 700 million people in Europe, not Africa, not South America. 700 million people in Europe that have never heard the gospel, but we think it's a holiday destination. There are more people per head of population in Europe that have not heard the gospel than in Africa, but we think it's a holiday destination. And we don't even think about the possibility of going to a lower class hotel and staying with a missionary couple for a while and helping them for a couple of weeks just by our presence with them. Europe tonight is under the jackboot of totalitarian regimes in the background. The Iron Curtain has fallen, but communism has not gone away. Islam is marching through from Southeast Europe right into our United Kingdom. Marching. But where is the army of Jesus Christ? They're not all carrying backpacks full of explosives. They're not all militants in that sense of terrorist activity. But they're all determined that Europe will fall to Islam as soon as possible. And it's happening before our very eyes. And where are those Christians who are determined that by God's grace we will snatch every inch of ground from beneath their feet in the cause of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners? Amen.